Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And here's Freddy.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to, and here's Johnny. And I feel like I never want to use the B word again because of how obnoxious it is listening to somebody use that word 1,000 times. It's kind of funny, but it also gets kind of tiring.
Yeah, very uncreative. And welcome to our annual spooky special, Dreaming with Freddy. This year, we are reviewing every Nightmare on Elm Street in reverse. This week, we are reviewing Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. I'll give you first thoughts, and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. So we are now in the middle of it, and I think that you've...
Oh, we're deep in the shit. You're right.
We're deep in it.
Yes, going reverse order now, we were talking about it, and I now remember why. It's funny to see a reverse progression of a series of movies getting slightly better as opposed to getting way worse.
It's true. Yes. It's nice to get the bad ones out of the way. Because in the past, you know, we reviewed Halloween, we reviewed Paranormal Activity, and they progressively got worse.
Which,
well, Partner Activity never really got going, right? It's like, kind of like the first one's okay.
Which,
and then, you know, there were like some good ones, some bad ones.
And in retrospect, the Halloween series is actually pretty fucking solid. Like, even the bad ones are like still better than you would think they would be if you put yourselves through all the fucking torture we do.
The bad ones are really bad. They're memorable. But yeah, Paranormal Activity is kind of like, they're okay. Yeah, it's just, they're fine. Yeah.
You know what?
That's fine.
And I was going to bring this up. I know you gave New Nightmare kind of a bad score. I still think that movie is better than a lot of the Paranormal Activity movies we saw. But nothing I think will ever compare to Skinnamarink Rinky Dinky Doo. So. That was how do you waste somebody's time for an hour and a half? Can't afford tripods? Don't worry about it. Put the camera on the ground. It's all good.
Yeah.
Can't pay for children's likenesses? Don't worry about it. Just cut off their heads in the frame.
The internet was wrong. The internet was wrong about that. It was bad.
Sorry, super bad.
So, Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child from 1989. What are your first thoughts?
Well, for one, I was excited to see Kelly Jo Minter in it because I was like, oh my God, like somebody that I thought was iconic in the 80s and just kind of disappeared.
What else was she in?
Summer School. Do you remember that movie? She played.
She was actually
in The Lost Boys also. I think she's one of the people that got killed. A lot of people got killed, but she was also in The Lost Boys. And then she was also in one of my favorite Stephen King movies, The People Under the Stairs.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, those are all things that you would have seen that you've been familiar with her.
But then, other than that, I did have to look up or research a little bit because I was a little confused as to where this character came from. I think in reverse order, we also get a little confused because it's like, I don't know where this person's from. Like, who survived what movie? Because I don't recognize anybody.
Oh, yeah. Freddy survived. Yeah. It's only consistent through life.
The devil, because if it wasn't for Freddy being in these movies, I don't know how bearable they would be. Even though he started, like, he was like the Gordon Ramsay of horror, and then he kind of turned into like the TikTok microwave chef.
Right. Yeah. And I think I liked this one more because the last one we saw was just campy, over the top,
weird,
bizarre, early 90s weird stuff.
But to be fair, it's still not
this
good.
Was like, yeah, it was kind of
bonkers.
I think this to me, Dream Child was refreshing because it actually felt there were some nice shots, some nice sequences, much more grounded than a lot of the visually, there's a lot more stuff that look grounded than the rest of the series. And it looked, the first shot of this movie is the, you know, the dream sequence of Alice, and she dreams up like Freddy's mom in the insane asylum getting raped by the 1,000 patients or whatever.
The hundred maniacs.
And the immediately that shot looked like, oh, this looks British. This looks very, very British. I was like, okay, I'm here for that. for the Britishness.
Is it 100 maniacs or is it 1,000 maniacs? I think it's 100.
Yeah. I think it's 100. 100 makes more sense. Think
Robert Englund ended up doing a very low budget, campy movie called 1,000 or 100 Maniacs, which I think was inspired by that idea. I never saw it. I thought about it, and I'm glad I never did. Pretty sure I'm glad I never did.
Yeah, probably not good.
But.
And he makes a cameo in this too. He's one of the patients.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because I think there's something about the souls needed. It's very subtle. Or some shit. I don't know.
It was super subtle. They just framed him right in the middle of the frame, and he looked directly at it.
That's why I think this is supposed to. The little demon sperms in Freddy's Dead, I think, kind of are supposed to be related to this somehow. I think that's like...
The demon fishies did show up again, they popped up again.
And I do want to mention something about Freddy Krueger is like a baby at one point. But that is one of my 5-word plot summaries, and I don't want to ruin it.
I forgot how this show works. Excuse me. Let's sorry, John. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words
for Noe's, right? Because Nightmare on Elm Street. Noe's.
Noe's.
Johnny.
5-word
plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Dream Child, The Nightmare in Elm Street's 5th installment, right? Did I get that right? Yeah. 5th installment.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry, these are, they're just so creative with these names, right? If you just dream another, let's get another noun. For coming in at number 3 for Dream Child, Freddy is the Voldemort baby.
Very much so, yes.
I'm sure I will at some point, rewatching the Harry Potter series, and I get to that point, I'm like, ah, it's Freddy Krueger. That's why this is also a dream sequence anyway, right? So, coming in at number 2 for Noe's Dream Child, Alice did have other friends.
She totally did.
Which, to be frank, give full disclosure, I gave this 5-word plot summary after I saw Dream Master because I thought it was funny that it's just like, now I have all this whole other group of friends that literally like a year later that don't believe me and nobody seems to care. All my other friends are dead.
And brother.
Her brother, yeah. And brother's dead. Her dad's not an alcoholic anymore, though. Right, coming in.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah.
Coming in at number 1 for Noe's Dream Child, Alice has very sleepy friends.
Yeah.
Hey, just don't go to sleep, okay? All right. Hey, oh, he's asleep. That happened once, and I thought it was so funny. And the aspect ratio of this one was funny, right? It wasn't, I don't think it was full letterbox. It was this movie still somehow looks different than Dream Master, I will say.
What's letterbox aspect ratio? Because I have it here. Do you know offhand?
Yeah, 16 point... No, I don't know.
This is 1.85. Sounds correct.
Maybe I just saw a funky version. No, you know what? Or maybe I'm confusing it with fucking... Freddy's Dead, which was fucking, like, weird and boxy, as opposed to like looking cinematic.
It was like a TV show. It was shot very cheaply. Yeah. Well, I mean, all you can see that now we are. This is the fifth one in that it's. They are just cranking these out, and it's cheaper and cheaper. You know, they're not spending as much, and they're trying to find young directors that work with small budgets.
Was it cheaper? Now? Because I swear, there's a scene where it looked like Robert Englund had to bulk up dramatically to be super, super muscular and tall, and then he just had to lose all that weight. So.
Yeah. From what I understand, this is the one that they hired a director in February, and the movie came out in August. So that's
sick.
That's a quick turnaround. Yeah.
Which is wild, because the product also feels that way a little bit.
Never. I was gonna say didn't suffer.
the dream child.
Yeah.
So we get reintroduced to Amanda Kruger, which in our little timeline of watching these movies, we have not been introduced to yet. But I mean, we both have seen the third installment, so we know where she comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of, I'm starting to see in these movies, they don't really know how to do the payoff to kill Freddy Krueger at the end of each of these movies. So it just kind of happens sort of quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought's kind of funny. Actually, Freddy's Dead did have like a little bit of a better payoff, even though the movie was trash. And I didn't really like the way it ended, but at least it made sense, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not your favorite, I could tell. Yeah, so he comes back to life. Because Alice is pregnant. So he's, oh man, I'm sure I remembered how this happened, but he's basically, because Alice is pregnant, he's able to rebirth himself.
I was trying to figure that one out. Did he dream rape her? Is there something?
I think he used the baby's, he used the baby's dreams to come back, I think. I know there's probably more like specific reason as to why he came back, but
because everything's kind of muddy. It's also whoever's cranking out these scripts, I don't think has real friends with normal conversations. So, so via dialogue, I'm having difficulty understanding what's going on.
So it says, the pregnant Alice finds Freddy Krueger striking through the sleeping mind of her unborn child, hoping to be reborn into the real world.
Which, there is, she envisions the child as like a 10-year-old kid, question mark.
Another famous creepy 90s kid.
Yeah. He did everything, including Jurassic Park. He's the Velociraptor Talon kid at the beginning.
Yeah. That's
I did
right,
end
yeah.
up working with that guy. I mean, obviously, as an adult, he's this sketch group called The Good Neighbor, which people will recognize, like Kyle Mooney and Beck Bennett, shot a pilot mm-hmm. for their series before they went on to do Saturday Night Live at my house. And they brought him in, and it was just kind of funky because he still looks like that, and he's still kind of short, but he's clearly an adult. Just like an interesting looking guy.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Surprised they got two weird 90s looking kids.
Yeah.
So they got this kid and then the Pet Cemetery kid and the other one. And
oh,
the
that's right.
New Nightmare.
I just, again, so. I don't quite understand. She starts to see this kind of sort of grown version of her child but
in her dreams,
but not even in her dreams, like the first time she meets the kid, he's wandering around the hospital and like she's just kind of casually talking to him, and then she's like, oh mm-hmm. have you seen that kid and talked to him, Jacob, and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
That's right, Jacob.
And I thought that was funny too, because there's also like this idea of you're supposed to be, oh shit, maybe the kid's not real, but it's also very plausible that they just haven't seen this kid. Like, it's a hospital, so
they didn't want to give away the surprise that it was sort of a
dream child.
Future. Oh, you said the title of the movie.
The dream baby.
Yeah.
As opposed to the dream daddy.
Oh yeah, there's the they have a really fun sequence in the beginning where he's a little slimy baby. Yeah. And then he decides to regenerates to an adult Freddy very rapidly. And then gives the classic line, "It's a boy."
Yeah, it's right.
I was like, I saw that. I was like, this is going to be a long movie.
the one-liners do get a little bit more fun because they're so bad. Here, I think I still have them. Yeah, I have them queued up. Would you like to hear the one-liners for Dream Child?
Please.
That's right. There's the driving sequence, right? Which one? Who's Danny?
Danny is the love interest, I think, right? No, yeah, I think Danny That's is right. the love
he's,
interest.
He's the only other guy to survive Alice. The previous movie.
Dan, yeah.
He's trying to rush back. And then here again, we get another, like, in New Nightmare, this happens to her husband, Heather Langenkamp's husband, but the same idea. He's trying to rush back. They're having a party at the municipal pool. And they're like, we're all going to go diving. And there's actually people in like bathing suits diving and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, this is fun.
Mm-hmm. This is our graduation. Let's go back to school and dive.
Let's go have a swim party.
Yeah.
And then our comic book nerd is like, let's break open this champagne. And Danny's like, no, this is just for me and Alice for later. Okay. Like...
Yeah. Pretty okay, much, yeah.
And then, like,
yeah, all right.
He gets a Get call, about right? It. He gets a call from the office phone at the school. And somebody's like, hey, Danny, it's for you. And he goes to the office phone.
It's okay.
Like, yeah, somebody, you know, this is the late 80s. Not Everybody weird memorizes every single fucking number ever on Earth. And, like, yep, that's the office phone for this pool. And he's like, oh, I gotta go. Alice is in trouble. And as he's speeding back, in classic Nightmare on Elm Street form, he's like, all of a sudden, I'm so tired. So he falls asleep at the wheel. And then Freddy Krueger has a one-liner during the sequence, and he goes, hey, Daddy, better not dream and drive.
Yeah.
Though
I did like... His death was fun because he gets on the... The motorcycle, right?
Oh,
like,
and he dies. Turns into
Robot Man.
Yeah, it's Man very like Takashi Mike's like Iron Man series, right?
Yeah.
Tetsu or whatever.
There's some nice kills in this one. Like, I thought that one was good, and then I thought the other one with the
glamour, like the mom trying to make her daughter a model, like really short, shoving it down her throat. Which is how she dies. She gets force-fed until she explodes.
Like, it's very Monty Python.
Very Monty Python meets Big Trouble in Little China. One of our villains gets so angry that he just makes himself blow up. One of my favorite guests in any movie.
See, I thought those were fun.
I text you. Not the very beginning, but still in the opening when... They're having the graduation. The way, like, the extras and all that was set up was making my brain explode because I could not wrap my head around, like, it was so distracting. These ADs, I guess, could not wrangle background to make it consistent at all. Then it looked like...
Oh, they just kept moving them?
It was so confusing. Like, and then I guess they couldn't afford for our comic book dude to be in the frame the entire time or something, because they kept like doing weird shots of blocks of everybody else, and then they would include him for other scenes, but then he would be on the wrong side. Like,
oh, I felt really bad for that kid, the comic book kid. I think his name was Mark.
Because he was in love Mark. With him.
No, he just was saddled with like the most painful dialogue.
Yeah.
And he was like not the best actor either. So,
well, to be fair, I think I looked him up and this is the one and only thing he's ever done.
He just had this scene where he was like, wait, be quiet. I have something to say. We have to listen to her because she's dying in her dreams. That could be us. Or something like that. Something too very like, oh, I want to scratch my eyes. This is so bad.
I'm a liar. He's still doing movies that we would never ever hear about.
Okay, great. Good for him. I don't even think it's his fault. I mean, plus he had like the comic book one, which was kind of dumb.
It was kind of really stupid.
Mostly dumb.
It was a very cheap ripoff of the Aha music video for Take On Me at one point. Yeah. And then it went full color. And then he kept drawing this weird, like if you told me, I forgot her name, that did Tank Girl also did this movie, I'd believe you, because of the way like this his character design was for a superhero, which is just he's wearing like a red sort of mask hood thing, and he kind of looks like Zorro, but also like something out of Demolition Man. I don't know. And his superpowers are two guns. Could literally draw anything else on Earth or imagine anything he wanted. He went with two guns. He thinks he's killed Freddy, and then Freddy comes back as Super Freddy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then he delivers this banger of a one-liner that after he becomes Super Freddy, he says, faster than a bastard maniac, more powerful than a local madman, it's Super Freddy.
Yeah.
And after he kills this kid, he says, told you comic books were bad for you.
Nice.
And those are all the one-liners. He doesn't have anything more fun to say after that. It's all... This also had one of those, we don't know how to kill Freddy off, so this is what's going to happen. Mommy's going to absorb her back into her stomach, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. We have to find mommy in a church just hanging out.
It's like, oh man, I hope she's able to like contain him forever. Don't worry, you're never going to find out what happens because he randomly.
That's right, because what's her face? That Kelly Joe character survived, right? Because Alice is distracting him at this point, right? Is the plan here?
Yes.
And Kelly finds the body of his mom. And
yes,
she basically like sees it. She it's like standing by a big gothic looking window with pigeons everywhere, and she like touches it, and then it turns around to be a skeleton.
Oh, that's right.
Somehow that releases her back into the dreams,
which also doesn't make any sense, because I mean, maybe I'm just confused, but this did not look like the sleep institute asylum or whatever that came out in the third movie. which she was in the tower. That's right. And according to the timeline, these all kind of happen within years of each other. So I don't know why they abandoned that place and then let it, I guess they released a bunch of spiders onto this place. It was covered in webs and shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like we need this place to look.
I think they try to do a lot of practical things.
Yeah. I did read, which I thought was funny because I was waiting for it to happen because I read the trivia before I saw the movie. And there's a part where Freddy explodes into like a bunch of tarantulas that they painted the bodies of them like red and green, which you can't see on camera. And not only that, but there was like hundreds of them that they released. You really only see like five of them, I think, is what I counted. I mean, there might be more. I just couldn't see them. And they said that they didn't find most of these spiders. So there's just like a bunch of angry tarantulas that just kind of went into like whatever studio they were shooting at.
Nice.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Good job, Hollywood. Didn't have a tarantula wrangler?
I think they said they did, but...
It's just some PA. This is your job today. Okay.
Hey there, intern.
Yeah,
so I don't know. This movie is better than Freddy's Dead.
I did like... this is our first introduction, and we'll see her again in the next one. Lisa Wilcox, Alice. I guess she's the Dream Master, right? She's the one...
Yes.
Technically.
Yeah, because she has all of the powers and personality traits, which kind of disappear in this movie of previous people.
Yeah, she's much more, like, I guess, sure of herself or confident. So there's, like, a small arc if you want to watch these Freddy movies of a character.
Very small arc.
And,
of a very meek very and secure small arc, woman.
And I guess Dan survived too, right? Dan came back. Which is, which I did share with you, like, that's kind of like my frustration with these movies. It's like, they have characters, establish them, and then they, like, kill them off in the next one.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, no, you know, I'm not sure why they're killing them off. I guess because to, like, raise stakes to.
Yeah.
For the next one? I don't know.
I guess so. And this one, yeah, I guess you watch these movies because they have creative and fun kills.
Yes, I know.
No. Yeah, that's the issue. Like, some of them are really fun. Some of them aren't that good. I will say, between the two movies we're reviewing today, this one probably had, quantity-wise, more fun or more creative idea kills.
Right.
But, I mean... Again, like the superhero thing is not the most memorable thing. I mean, it's I do have that image of the black and white Super Freddy in my memory from when I saw this when I was younger. And then I couldn't remember, like, why don't I remember the rest of this movie? Oh, because it's bad. That's why.
Yep.
Everybody dies, right? Except for. What, like three?
The girls.
Two people, just the girls, I guess, right?
Well, Alice and.
What's her character name?
He says Yvonne, which is Kelly Jo Minter.
Yvonne.
They both survive, yeah.
Oh, and then Alice's dad.
Yeah. So, like, famously, the baby in this, because they end up having a baby at the end, you know, it's like the scene or whatever. That baby was supposed to be the John Doe kid in Six, right. But they didn't name him Jacob, which I think actually would have made sense for how the progression was going. But I think with Freddy Dead, he wanted to kind of get away from the past movies or something and kind of... It was more just about Freddy dying than about anything else.
That was kind of weird because it's just like so much... Like, it's 10 years later... So,
yeah,
all of the teenagers are dead.
Freddy's dead. Yeah,
Alice didn't make it.
Yeah, there's no word on where Alice is, they kind of just dropped the storyline after this.
It's like, let's talk about Freddy Krueger being married and having a kid. Don't worry about his mom anymore.
I mean, the main character of this franchise is Freddy. I mean, he's like the consistent through line through every single one of these movies. So they just interchange the kids.
New Line Cinema used to be tagged as the house that Freddy built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it was the most important franchise for them. So that's why they gave it little money and just turned them out year after year. But anyways,
I mean, at least we got our guy Robert Englund working. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to go into spoilers? Not really anything to spoil.
No, they all die except for the two girls. I think we mentioned that already.
So you don't know. You want to go to ratings? John, how many sexy spooky bones do you give it?
How many sexy spooky bones? don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Dream Child 4.4 sexy spooky bones.
I am going to go, I'm going to give this a 5. I like this one a little more. I think I just like the direction. We'll see. You know, when we talk about the fourth one, we have two very known strong directors that went on to do other work. And between both, I preferred what Stephen Hopkins was doing than Remy Harlan.
Interesting.
So I'll give it 5 out of 10.
I think I have the reverse opinion.
Yeah, there's another reason why we haven't discussed why I don't particularly like Dream Master. I think I called it the Stink Master when I text you.
That's right.
Alrighty, let's move over to Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, because Rolando hates cliffhanger. Just kidding. For Noe's Dream Master, coming in at 3, Freddy has a deep reflection.
That's good. Bravo,
again,
John.
Another
Bravo.
Moment where,
well done.
It's like, we don't know how to get rid of him. How about... I was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, again, the movie we just talked about, Freddy's mom was like, I'm sucking you back into my uterus. I'm ghost sucking you back into me. Run! Anyway.
Yeah.
Coming in at 2 for Noe's Dream Master, Patricia Arquette dreams herself differently.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Coming in at 1 for Dream Master, everyone ignores Elm Street deaths.
Pretty much, yes. Nobody cares. Nothing matters.
Teenagers die all the time. It's just accept it. That's the way things happen in Elm Street.
So I think this one, for the longest time, Dream Master had the distinction of being the one that made the most money.
Interesting.
You know, before Freddy vs. Jason, I think Freddy vs. Jason ended up beating it. But as far as the original, 6, it made surprisingly the most money. And it's kind of a continuation from which many widely considered the best of the franchise outside of the first one would be of the sequels, Dream Master.
Which is fair. So, I'm very excited because we're definitely getting into the best of
the
franchise.
The good stuff, yeah. Yeah. But I did not like this movie. I really did not like this movie. I think it had all the problems sequels have. They recast the character with the Patricia Arquette part with Tuesday Night, and she was terrible. She was not as strong.
No, it was
of an actress,
so different.
And
yeah,
weird. And they immediately get rid of fan favorite characters, which I'm never a fan of. Right in the first 20 minutes, 2 surviving Dream Master characters die.
That's not true. I'm
Kristen...
pretty sure the dog survived because he didn't show up again.
And then I think this is the one everyone talks about where they decided to make Freddy the main character of this franchise, and they decided to just camp it up, even though he's always been kind of campy. Yeah. He's always been kind of I'm the comedian who laughs at his own jokes type of thing.
Yeah.
Through most of the franchise up to this point, but I felt like they're trying specifically, some of the dream sequences kills were done so over the top. We literally have the dog piss fire to the ground, which raises Freddy from dream hell back to life. So,
and I did think that was kind of crappy the way they killed off our two of our previous survivors right away. And there's nothing inventive about it. Just kind of, he stabs them. They're dead.
Yeah.
They don't get to the creative kills until they meet the new cast.
They should be the ones dying the most creatively or most tragically or most, you know, emotionally or something, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I wasn't too crazy about that. But I also want to chalk it up to, like, he's trying to regain his power or whatever. So he doesn't have the abilities to be super fun yet. And in comparison, I personally think I like this one more because I feel like more of a Freddy you become accustomed to after watching the first three movies. And in Dream Child, he just seems like super sadistic. Like there's nothing, he still has the one-liners, but he's not being really fun. He's just like straight up, like just being really, really, really evil, which I know he's evil, but it's like.
I think that's actually a great point. You notice, because I think they purposely made Dream Child Freddy more of a murderer, less comedic. Because they felt like after this movie that he'd gone too much the other way. So they were actually trying to bring him and make him a little more serious, which actually I enjoyed. I actually like a more straight Freddy. I think it's works. The character works better. But
well, yeah. That's why I think I like the other way. I like when he plays with his food because I feel like that's what he gets enjoyment out of. And in this one, it just seemed, I mean, he's still creatively killing people, but he's just being like mean. Like he's just mean. Which again, I know he's supposed to be mean before you tell us in the comments like you always do.
yeah.
But he's not, how do I put this without it sounding too fantastical? Like Freddy Krueger in 2, 3, and 4 is more of a guy I'd be like, I know he's probably going to kill me, but I would hang out with this guy. but in Dream Child, I'm like, yeah, this guy's fucking mean.
Yeah, because he calls his mom a bitch. I forgot to mention that.
Wait, he calls somebody a bitch?
He calls his mom a bitch.
I didn't know he used that word.
Biatch.
Oh, he even writes it on a chalkboard at one point, I think.
Yeah, he writes it on a chalkboard. See you soon, bitch.
I'm like, do you want to like his... have a... Let us know in the comments below. Do you want to have a kill count for Freddy or do you want to have a bitch count? Like, how many times you use that
word? Yeah. That seems to be like his go-to insult word, bitch. I think that's an 80s thing.
I'm thinking.
It's probably like an 80s thing.
It becomes very irritating.
Yes, yeah. He must just call these girls, you know, sluts and whores. And
it's like, yeah, and he doesn't have anything fun to say to the men.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that could just be a New Line Cinema thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It is that era of people getting away with shit. But you didn't have one kill in this movie that you thought was fun?
I really thought... Okay, I really liked the cockroach one. I thought the cockroach one was really fun. Cool. Where she kind of metamorphosis type.
I will say though,
turns into a cockroach.
Again, my brain was being split in two because she's like bench pressing.
Oh, I know, that's brutal.
But the thing that bothered me about it was, for one, this is also the late 80s. I swear at some point in any movie, you're going to see somebody working out. Like their home, because everybody had like gym equipment, the aerobics 80s strength craze. Mm-hmm. She grabs onto the part like she's gonna bench press, and here I'm gonna get nerdy about muscle grouping and stuff, but it was like, okay, is she doing like a close grip thing for her triceps? And then Freddy grabs the outside of it, or he's got it held, and I was like, is Freddy spotting her? What's going on? And then it cuts to a different scene, and then their arms are way wider. I'm like, okay. And then it cuts back to what they were seeing before, and then their hands are in just to be in frame again. And then it cuts back to the wide, and their arms are way wider again. And then Freddy pushes the weights down, and it splits her elbows. So her arms separate like chunks of flesh. Her like
physically impossible
forearm to her hand just like flop off, and she grows cockroach legs. And then she becomes a big cockroach because she hates bugs, which is mentioned. I think in comparison, the relationship between the characters and Dream Child were way better, even though like I didn't really care about those characters either. than this one, because this one, I kept forgetting why they're all friends. They just are friends. You just accept that they're a group of friends.
Right.
Because there's a bunch of photos on her mirror of insecure Alice. Doesn't want to see a reflection, so she covers her mirror full of photos. Instead of maybe, I don't know, just like taking the mirror down, putting something else up. So you accept they're all very, very close friends.
Yeah. That's it's another strong point. Yeah. Like, I think that this movie felt like we got to get the Dream Kids out of the way, and then we got to introduce all these other characters. And that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Right. Like, and that's why I felt maybe better, because it's kind of like it's new kids, but we still have some anchors from the other movie, like Dan and Alice, and you know what I mean? And not all of them die. There's actually less kills in it too. This one, I believe, had more offhand.
Yes.
Than the next movie, or you know, five. So,
yeah, people definitely. There's more. What there's the three survivors all die. I mean, of the four survivors, three of them are confirmed dead. Dog is still alive, I think.
And then,
Patricia Arquette is still alive, but this version dies.
This one, like, her brother dies, right?
Her brother dies. Lisa's
brother.
Which, I mean, luckily he was able to give his dad one more mouth smooch. That was fucking, like, very off-putting. That scene where, like, Alice is getting yelled at by her dad, who I guess is supposed to be an alcoholic, but I don't think I ever see him drink anything. But they just keep repeating that he's an alcoholic.
He does, yeah. And this one, he is drinking something in the morning.
Oh, yeah. And then...
Yeah. A little something, yeah. It's not like...
Because he's taking aspirin, too.
Over your head.
And her brother is aware of him doing that somehow, even though he's upstairs, because the whole sequence is he's yelling at Alice, and Alice has keeps having... What do you call it? I'm blanking. Where you visualize yourself doing something, but it's not actually happening. You just kind of wish it happened, and then it cuts back to reality, and her dad's just kind of yelling at her. And the brother climbs out the window, jumps from the roof. It's like, it's avoid dad day, blah, blah, blah. And the dad happens to be right there, and he's like, oh, I'm going to the club, honey, and grabs his head and kisses him on the lips. The scene ends.
Yeah.
Like, okay. They have
one character. I think in that sequence you're specifically talking about, he does swig something. He's drinking something
with aspirin or something. Like, he's got a hangover, I guess.
Right. Yeah, the idea. Yeah,
which is like drinking. Fucked up. Like, you don't cure a hangover by drinking more. Anyway, this beer that I bought from Fremont Hustle, it's very good.
Cure my hangover.
and it is.
They also have the death of the sort of meek girl with glasses,
which I thought was such a fucking shame, because she is, from what I recall, in the movie for like 10 minutes, if that.
She's barely in this movie, yeah, but she dies. She dies as well.
I think it's mostly like, oh, I have a crush on this character, and then you never see her. And then she crammed all night for a test, so she was super tired during the test. And as one does, because like I said, Alice has very, very sleepy friends. And then she makes a bug deterrent thing that has a high frequency pitch for really no reason. Just for, what's her name? The rocker style character is afraid of bugs. The one that turns into a bug.
Right. Yeah.
Which I'm also seeing the same sort of archetype per character from what I recall in Dream Warriors. Like, there's
possibly
like the strong guy, which was Kincaid was like the strong guy, which at the beginning of this movie, when he gets killed, he for some reason has terrible balance. He must have fell like 1,000 times.
I chalked it up to like, oh, it's a dream.
He can't walk.
Even though
they mastered their abilities in the previous movie, which was like literally like a year before or something.
Yeah.
He can't walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your, yeah, this is why this, partly why this movie feels frustrating, because they've already established some characters and then they just started to strip away the things that were interesting about them just so they can kill them and just move on to a new group of kids.
Yeah. So, like, specifically one of them, they stripped away the most interesting thing about that character was it was Patricia Arquette, and they stripped that away immediately.
I just like Tuesday night. I mean, she has a scene where she's like, her mom gives her sleeping pills because she's worried about her.
That's right.
And then she's just Tuesday night. This is like, she's just like, you killed me. I hope you know that. Something like that. Yeah, it was a little rough too. But yeah, no, there's a lot of deaths in this one too.
Yeah, there's plenty to go around.
And the other Joey too. Joey got killed with the waterbed. We should probably mention that's right. As well.
Very Johnny Depp.
A dream warrior too, Joey.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, very the way Johnny Depp gets killed in the first one, it's like another bed gag.
Mm.
And
it's a fun it's actually just one of my favorite ones,
because they wanted a little time capsule in a movie, the era of waterbeds. So he gets sucked into the waterbed and he drowns, I think. I'm not sure, because the cutaway I saw of it, there was a pocket of air where his face was at, so ran out of oxygen.
Yeah. I think Freddy kills him and takes him down, and then,
yeah, he slashes him up. Well, you don't
patches it up, and then he floats. Yeah. He floats to the top.
Yeah, you don't actually see the way he dies, right? He just gets sucked into the bed. It turns red, like blood is like flowing, and then you just see him kind of there. Yeah.
Freddy just pulls him down. Yeah, and then
when his mom removes the comforter, because this unstable youth does not believe in bed sheets. I'm just kidding. I know it's the reveal of the waterbed and him stuck in there, but
yeah.
She just like pulls the comforter and then it's just waterbed.
And then I think probably, again, the most interesting thing was Alice too. The introduction of Alice.
Yeah.
She's a fun character. Kind of like the beginning of her. Christian, I think, like gives her powers in her before her death.
Yes.
And Freddy's exploiting it to get to the other kids.
Which is something I didn't like. I think I've mentioned this before in another movie. I don't like when movies are like start throwing around the word powers just to like so they don't have to explain anything.
Yeah.
Because this was not a thing in Dream Warriors. It wasn't like, oh, we have powers now. No, they just like know how to master their abilities in their dreams. Like they know how to control their dreams. And then she starts like, oh, I need to give you our powers. Like, powers? You guys have fucking powers?
What powers? Yeah. You've exhibited no powers before your death. Yeah. I don't know how. Yeah.
Clearly, it's not going to help at all. I mean, you guys died.
Yeah.
So now you're stuck in a pizza and or Freddy's stomach. So.
Yeah, that was another pizza thing I thought funny. Disgusting gag. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
He like gets the pizza. I think they're. Oh, you know what? You know what I haven't done for this movie yet?
Oh yeah, have you got any quotes?
The one-liners.
The quotes.
Which I think there's way more in this one. Oh yeah. I just go down him. So for that sequence with the pizza, he goes, "What was it?" I'm sure I'll get to it. Let me just go down these one-liners because they're all pretty funny. He goes, "How's that for a wet dream?" I think that's when he pulls the guy into the
bed. Yeah, yeah, because there's like a naked woman that tempts him.
Oh,
yeah.
From his poster. Like he's got,
from
he's
his
got
poster,
a naked
that's
woman
right.
on a poster in his bedroom, as all teenage boys do. His parents allow that shit.
Yeah.
How sweet, fresh meat. What was that?
That was the girl, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Alice gets, I think that's the introduction to Alice in the dream, is when he says that. And then right when he kills, what's Patricia Arquette's character's name? I mean, Tuesday night?
Kristen.
Right when he kills her, I think he says, "Elm Street's last brat, farewell."
Classic-like.
Which again, I don't... recall that being a through line in Dream Warriors, but okay. We'll find out, I guess. And then he says at one point, why don't you reach out and cut someone? Like, I don't remember where that's from.
Okay.
Yeah, let's skip that one. Yeah. Oh, when Kincaid dies, I do remember this. When Kincaid dies, he's like, I'll see you in hell. And he says, tell him Freddy sent you.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when the meek girl with asthma gets killed, he like makes out with her but sucks all her insides. And he says, wanna suck face?
She's like, no. No, get away from me.
Can you imagine if that was like, Freddy was just like, oh shit, okay, I'm sorry. I thought I felt something.
Whoa. Like,
I am so sorry.
Am I misreading the scene? Yeah.
Maybe I didn't have to kill anybody after all. Oh, I need to rethink things.
Rethink all this.
When I think Danny is in the hospital and he's still put under. And he's, what did he say? Like, oh, you're not Dr. Whomever. And Freddy says, well, it ain't Dr. Seuss. Which I did enjoy that one.
God.
Okay. Some of these are terrible. It's like now yeah, no one sleeps. I'm like, okay. You can skip all this dialogue, guys. Come on. His comeback line from when he finally comes out of the grave is, you shouldn't have buried me. I'm not dead. Okay.
That's just accurate. Yeah.
Thanks for stating. Thank you, Exposition Freddy.
Yeah.
This one I did enjoy because it is, again, these movies sometimes are a little time capsule of an era I keep forgetting about. When Bug Girl gets squished because she gets trapped in like a little bug trap. Or it's actually more of like a rat trap, but she's a cockroach stuck in these traps.
It's a roach motel.
Yeah, that's like right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Because his one-liner is, you can check in, but you can't check out, which was the Raid Roach Motel tags.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this was like something that didn't occur to me if it wasn't like flat out explained to me why the character's name is called Alice. He says, welcome to Wonderland, Alice. And it's like, okay, gotcha.
Or when he's like, oh, through the looking glass, Alice. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
We're all Mad Hatters around here.
Alice.
Hey, my queen of hearts. No, so we just wrote a way better movie, by the way.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah.
I guess these are all just the things he says, because they're all kind of, some of them are really dumb. Like, one down, two to go is when he kills Kincaid, and then he's going to kill the other two. So he never had the dog on his radar, which I appreciate Freddy for that. He's not one to kill animals.
He's not an animal killer. Children, teenagers.
The animals didn't wrong him.
Fair game. Exactly.
This what I did think was really fucking funny. So when he pulls Alice into the diner dream sequence, I think she goes to a movie and she's watching Reefer Madness or whatever the other movie is, and then it turns into like she falls asleep and sees the diner.
Other...
Yeah, which again, I think the whole idea was she snuck out of her house so she could stay awake, and her thought process is, I'm going to go to a movie. I'm going to go into a dark theater where it's nice and temperature controlled. I
think she was trying to pick a fight with Freddy at this point, because she had already built her confidence up.
That makes more sense.
That's kind of what I remember, because she seemed more like, oh, I'm ready to fight you, because he's using her to get to the other kids. But, using her because she's like, she's using her dream power that Kristen like threw at her before her death.
Why didn't she just light. Do it in her own bed? Why did she need to go to a movie theater?
I think she left. She did leave. She didn't want to be home because that's the dad that's drunk.
Well, I think this was right after also. You're right. I think this is right after the dad started freaking out. Like, I only have you. Because only the dad cares that the brother died in this movie.
Yeah.
He stops drinking because of it. It's a whole experience for him. he's the only guy that has a complex character in this movie.
Real quick on his death, because I don't think we talked about it, was that they, I did see on the Never Sleep Again documentary that they, Renee Harlin says that they completely ran out of money. They're 100% out of money. So the way they, but they still need to kill him because they had already filmed the scene with the coffin where he's in it or whatever. And they're like, why don't we just cut that and just keep him alive for the next movie? But they're like, no, we already have this shot, so we got to use it or whatever. So it's essentially him doing, so they put up a bunch of like cloths up that look Asian inspired. And then they kind of established that he was like, oh, I know how to fight and stuff like that. Yeah. He teaches Alice some you know, some
another
moves.
Very time capsule-y thing from the 80s and early 90s. Yes, everybody was into martial arts.
Everybody was into martial arts, exactly. Yeah. And so like they just came up with like, we'll just throw a bunch of like cloths up in the room, and then he's just going to be doing the moves by himself because they couldn't afford to pay Robert Englund to be in the scene. He's not in the scene. He literally just
that
dies.
Makes total sense.
He fights pretty invisibly.
I can't believe I'm saying this. It worked. I think it was one of the more
for the most. I mean,
things I saw in the movie.
If you hadn't told me, if you hadn't told me, I would have been like, I wouldn't have questioned it. I would have been like, yeah, that.
Because I thought it was kind of fun that he couldn't see him, and then he like was able to kick his ass a little bit until before he died. But
look at us. Yeah. Look at us gullible horror fans. Yeah, this is so fun.
It's genius. No, yeah. But yeah, that whole, what I didn't, I mean, I'll finish the one-liners in a second, but what I didn't catch or understand in her dream sequence where she sucked into the movie screen, which I thought actually that was really well done, where everybody's just kind of sitting there and they visually affect like her popcorn and her drink start spilling out, which I mean, obviously it's like she's pinned to a chair and they're close up shots, so she's actually probably pointing down and everything's kind of flowing out slow motion. But then she gets sucked into the movie screen, which I thought was super cool. And then she's in this diner and she's talking to this waitress that's working at like a diner that looks closed or like been abandoned for years. And it's supposed to be her.
It's supposed to be her though. It's supposed to be her. Yeah, she works at the diner.
That's why, like, she's like, oh, I don't want to be here forever. I didn't understand why that was a thing.
I think this was, from what I gathered, this was about empowering the Alice character. Because when we first meet her, she's like
meek or whatever. Yeah.
Very quiet, unconfident. And then she's even, you know, she has those daydreams or whatever about meeting Dan.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of implied, like, once she's given this power, you know, she kind of takes it upon herself to fight Freddy. So I think part of that was saying was like maybe a fear for like you know, an imagined fear that she might have had, that like, oh, I'm gonna stay here at this diner that I work at for the rest of my life.
Right. Okay. I guess so. I feel like that was never implied until that moment.
It's kind of like her own fear, like her own self-confession of like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet, never achieve anything. My other people are going to move on and I'm going to be stuck waitressing at the diner.
She's still working there in the next movie. And in fact,
but she has a boyfriend and is pregnant, so things are looking up.
But I will say, if she hadn't freaked out at this place in the next movie, her boyfriend never would have had to have rushed over in a car and died. So,
it's true.
Well, okay. Let me finish these one-liners real quick. We're almost done. When he's in the diner, he gets a pizza, and then all the souls of the people are the little meatballs. That was really funny. And he goes, Rick, you little meatball. I love soul food. And I actually did laugh at that.
that was stupid. It was pretty good. Yeah.
What he says, bring me more. And I think that's when you see, I can't remember the name of the character, the rocker working out chick. And then that's when he kills her at that point.
Right. Yeah.
When he kills Rick, he says, sayonara, Rick-san.
Jesus. Yeah.
And right when he sees rocker character in The Thing, he turns to Alice and says, "Your shift is over." It forces her to wake up somehow.
Yeah, it goes back to he's using her to get to other kids now because he's already killed all the Dream Warriors.
Oh, just like, I didn't know he had that power to make people wake up.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of throws her and be like, "Oh, I'm up now.
Ah, shit, yeah. I'm awake again." Yeah. I'm the only character that has trouble falling asleep. No. I do like when he sucks the life out of the nerdy character, he says, "You flunked."
Yeah. We should probably also mention the other Robert Englund cameo where he's the nurse.
Oh my God. That was my Alice? Favorite. We were talking about it where I was like, I don't want to discredit anything. Robert Englund makes a very lovely woman, but it's clearly Robert Englund. It's clearly Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because I think the very first time I ever saw Freddy Krueger or Robert Englund out of makeup when I was a kid, it wasn't a surprise at all. It was like, oh, yeah, that's him. It wasn't like, oh, wow, dramatic change. Like, no, that's him. I mean, I guess also because you do see him in the movies finally, I think in the, I guess it's this fourth one. Is the first time we see Robert Englund out of makeup.
To state like we've seen these movies, but we just haven't seen them recently. Yeah. So it's like kind of new to us, you know. It feels new.
Pretty sure we
So yeah, I'd have to go back and check the. Well, we'll see. We'll see in the next three.
Definitely not in the first one. Oh, maybe we're wrong. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. I do like, he's picking the which soul he's going to eat from the meatballs, which he does like grab with his knife finger and actually eat too. I was like, good on Robert Englund. He just commits.
Good on Robert Englund. Yeah.
He goes, fun actor. Oh, he says the usual. And then that's when he gets presented the meatball pizza and he's like, my favorite. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. He like stabs the meatball.
Yeah.
Oh, another instance where he uses the word bitch. He's like talking to Alice and he says, "You think you got what it takes? I've been guarding my gate for a long time, bitch." I'm like, what does this mean?
I don't know.
I think it's supposed to be a PSA for abstinence. He's like, "I've been guarding my gate for a long time. You're not gonna only people that die in horror movies have sex, not this guy." But then that's when we find out in the last Freddy's dead. Freddy fucked. That's what happened.
Oh yeah, he fucked a lot. Freddy fucked a lot.
If the food don't kill you, the service will. So stupid.
Yeah. Alrighty. Going a little long. Do you have any thoughts about this one?
No.
You liked it more than Dream Child,
and,
right?
And spoiler, the way Freddy dies is the kids that keep coming out in all the movies. I think this is the last time you see these kids doing... No. They come out in the next one, too. The kids doing... the Freddy song, the chant, where they're playing jump rope. Yeah. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door. 5, 6, get your crucifix. And then I don't know what they say after that. I don't think I ever learned that.
Mm-hmm.
They say that, and somehow that inspires Alice to look at stained glass and be like, oh, evil, what is it? If evil sees itself, some bullshit. And he's like, no, so he explodes.
Yeah, he's Dorian Gray.
Yeah, I was like, sure, he's why Dorian not? Gray.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool.
That's our
spoilers. Alrighty. That's our spoilers.
Cue the spoiler song.
Actually, the spoiler's out. Cue the spoiler song. Yeah, we were kind of talking about it.
Okay, that was the spoiler song. Rewind 1 hour to hear spoilers.
Yeah. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones.
negative, Noe's Dream Master. 4.7 sexy spooky bones.
Pretty much on par with the other movie, right? They're kind of interchangeable, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're very samey. Yeah.
They're better than Freddy's Dead.
Yes. Yes.
But they're still kind of in the same ballpark, to be honest.
Right.
Like, they're not, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch these again, I don't think.
Yeah.
Never say never, but
the only reason to watch these movies, honestly, is because if you're trying to watch all of them, you're completing, if you have the ambition to complete watch all of them, these will be a part of it. I honestly can't, and there's probably somebody out there that will like these movies and would watch them and only watch these movies. I doubt that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that think that this is way better than Nightmare on Elm Street, better than Dream Warriors.
To be fair, one of these movies is the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie somebody saw, and they're like, this is always going to be my
favorite. Yes, that's 100% true. Yeah.
The way it works all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also going to give it a 4 as well. Cool. All right.
Cool.
Now we get to the better ones, and then a weird second one. which we're going to have to talk about, but
arguably the best, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky, bizarches.
One, two, Fred is coming for you. Three, four, better lock your door. Five, six, get your crucifix. Seven, eight, we're dreaming with Fred.